Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
What's good, everybody? We are back. It is your boy Gerard and your girl Gabby. Episode 96 of the Kicks and Shit Show. I don't even have anything.
I was like, are you faking me out with the wheel sound effects now too? Is that what we're doing, Jerry?
I was like, I don't even have anything, but of course I do. Of course I do. Oh, Gabby, what is going on in these streets?
Gotta love these early morning episodes, Jay. As you guys know, Gerard and I both have been out in the streets a lot with our feats.
Feats in streets, yeah.
With NBA playoffs, with a lot going on in general. different time zones. So we want to make sure that we're giving you content all the time. So sometimes, you know, Gerard's got to record in a closet. I'm in a hotel room in Connecticut. And
this is my home studio where all the voice magic happens, folks. We'll let you in on a little behind the scenes. But yes, it is a morning where I have to bang out 3 or 4 projects in here. And so, hey, this is where KNS is getting recorded.
Sometimes that happens, Gerard. I mean, like I said, I'm in a hotel room. I'm at Mohegan Sun currently. Was here for an AT documentary premiere. More to come on that one with the W, leading into Connecticut Sun's 20th anniversary this year. So a lot going on. Very happy to be away from Coachella and back on the East Coast for a little bit. What's going on with you, Jay?
Oh, you know, I am back home for now. You know, still watching NBA playoffs, not on the road, but we'll likely probably go on the road again at some point. You know, we'll see. You know, just cranking out content, you know, seeing what's happening in these here playoffs, lots of excitement. And it's funny, I kind of want to start with the playoffs here because the Jordan brand released the photos of the new Jordan Luka 1 shoe. Of course, everybody know Luka Doncic, Dallas Mavericks superstar. And it had me thinking about something, Gabby. I was watching the Pelicans Sun series. Of course, everybody knows Zion Williamson on the Pelicans, but hurt this year, did not play. Zion already has a signature shoe with Jordan Brand, yada, yada, yada. I was thinking, man, this playoff run that the Pelicans went on, of course they lost, but pushed the number one overall seed Phoenix Suns 2-6 games. All the goodwill engendered about them and that story and like these rookies and these young guys and all that. The folks at Jordan Brand have got to be like, damn, Zion could have been on this stage with his signature shoes and we got no time and none of that going on. And it's just what a missed opportunity. And I'm wondering, because we always talk about, Gabby, the challenge it is for any Jordan Brand athlete that they sign to escape the shadow of the namesake, the Jordan shoe itself. And Zion is this superhero caricature, larger than life. But are we getting to a point where people are going to be like, who? Zion who? Like, you know, like what? Or if he comes back next year, is awesome, and they go to the playoffs again, is it going to be all well and good?
I think it could be all well and good. I don't know. I think that's where the design also is super important, right? I think people are always going to be into the person that's connected to the shoe. That's a driver for sales. But I do think if the design is fire, and they've been doing some great colorways lately for the Zion one, I think that they'll help carry in the meantime. Will that mean that there's going to be other styles and that number increase of different types of pairs within that franchise? Probably not. That's where we'll see the impact, I think, especially add in supply chain issues, injuries that Zion's facing, a team that, you know, is going to have to fight for a playoff spot again next year. There's a lot of factors that go into it. So, I mean, I can only imagine that Jordan Brand has tons of plans for things, and it's waiting to hit go on if something makes sense. And depending on how the current silhouette is selling, I think is a big piece of that. But it is tough, to your point, for brands like a Jordan Brand to come up with signature shoes because it's so dependent. It's a gamble on how the player does, especially with these rookies and NIL athletes. Like, brands are starting earlier and earlier to get on board with athletes that we don't know where their potential is going to go. So that's a risk that brands seem to be willing to want to take.
Yeah, I mean, Zion could be generational, right? And I just, again, the reason why I thought about it was because of just like, you know, this Phoenix series, with the exception of the Minnesota-Memphis series, I feel like this has been the series that everybody's talked about in round one in terms of, whoa, look at these rookies and like, you know, unheralded guys. I mean, besides Brandon Ingram, who's outstanding. Like, you know, it's just like, wow. And what a stage and what an opportunity, what a missed opportunity for Jordan, Brandon, Zion. And now you look conversely at Luka. Made it out of the first round for the first time in his 3-year career. So now, I mean, right, everybody's like, oh my God, finally. I'm like, he's been in the league 3 years. Like, calm the fuck down. makes it out of the first round, right? So he's now into the second round. Got the Luka 1. So it's like, okay, and they're playing the Phoenix Suns again, that number one team. So they're going to get a lot of buzz. Like, that's an opportunity, right, for Jordan Brand to be like, okay, the Luka shoe, which I like. It's got, I like the design. It's more of that low to mid look versus a high top. You know, again, I think, as you mentioned with Zion shoe, it's about the design, right? Like, how good can it be? How consistent can they be in terms of design? And, you know, I don't know how you feel about signature shoes. I mean, besides Jordans, like, and I don't mean like Jordan, Luke or Jordan's line. I mean like Jordans themselves. Like, what athlete's signature basketball shoes are you like, oh, I love that silhouette?
I mean, you know, I'm a fan. I stand for the KDs. Mm-hmm. Not KDs for all of them, but I like them. And I think it's interesting seeing that, you know, the Zooms for Giannis and even some of the newer LeBrons, like as we get higher up in the numbers, they're taking some of those details as well that, you know, where was I the other day? I was at, I think it was in Foot Locker. And I was like, these shoes are all starting to kind of look, have a similar look and vibe. And I think like sneakers 10 years ago, like you look at the Kobe's, it was a distinct look, whether it was a low top or that like skinny ankle, if it was a higher shoe, like that was distinct to Kobe. I think Jordan's the way that the laces are, not just on the ones, like they were mids or highs. And like, you knew it was a bulkier shoe. He liked the weight and the stability. And I think that evolved over time, but it was always something that was like, a mid or a high, you know, stick pretty much standard low, maybe a mid, but like pretty low. And so, and I think same with Kyrie's, but I think as we start to see more of like the evolution of LeBron's, and I think the same happened with Jordan, you get away from that kind of original look and vibe and try to focus on new technologies, new styles. It's all kind of starting to blend together. So, I mean, that's something I like about the Zion one is that it's a different design. I think if it resembles anything, it's the Air Jordan 35. Mm. It's got a similar vibe to that with kind of that detail in the midsole that is like a transition moment. I know with the bubble on the 35 and the peak on the Z, but it's... I don't know. I mean, for me, KDs are the vibe.
Yeah, I like KDs.
Other
and Kyrie's too. I like Kyrie's. I'm a Kyrie's.
And like to me, Kyrie is almost like a mix somewhere between like a KD and a LeBron. Just in terms of styles, materials, things like that. But there's a lot more similarities, like even in Paul George's sneakers, that kind of is reminiscent of like this new generation of like super athletes.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, that's what I was thinking about watching the playoffs. I mean, besides the playoffs themselves, I was struck with that moment. I was like, man, I was like, imagine if Zion was here right now, that shoe would be getting a lot of screen time. But, you know, is what it is.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the playoffs are interesting too, because, and I know we went through like a year or two ago with all the crazy trades in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm always thinking NFL, especially with it being draft week. But I feel that way a little bit about the NBA right now. Like, I still haven't gotten over the fact that Harden is in Philly. Like, it feels weird to me. Like, I'm like, this did happen, right? Like, I don't know. And the Nets getting swept, too, I was surprised about. So
I wasn't. I mean, I didn't predict that, but I wasn't surprised, right? I mean, I think it boils down to, right, the importance of having continuity and chemistry and connectivity all season, right? And it's not just about talent, right? And it's 100%. Funny, even though they were swept, right, the margin of victory combined was 18 points. Like, so, and all of those games were either tied or the Nets were in the lead late in the fourth quarter. So all games they could have won, right? But the difference you saw was Boston's connectivity and ability to execute down the stretch and the Nets' inability, with addition to their flawed roster, their small size on the wings and all those different things, right? And it's sort of this larger point about, you know, how teams go about constructing and building and what is the right method, right? Like, you still need elite talent to win titles. Like, that is still a fact. The question is, how much elite talent do you need? And, you know, can you develop other players, right, to assist you in that endeavor? And the other thing is, and I say this all the time, championships, as much as people don't want to believe it, luck plays a huge role into winning titles. Like, and it's not just luck. Like, the Orlando Magic could be the luckiest team in the world. They ain't winning shit. Okay. Like, you have to be good enough to give luck a chance, right? Like, that's the idea. And so, you know, it's really, really difficult. And when you go back, you look through history, it's a turned ankle here, a missed person here, whatever here. And that dictates and decides who ends up winning these things. And yeah, it's just something that, you know, again, teams need to consider as they're out there looking, you know, and trying to figure out what makes sense in their team building process.
No, I definitely agree. I think injury is a big piece of that. But at the end of the day, I talent obviously has to be a piece of that as well. But like, if chemistry isn't king, They ain't got shit. Like, that's why the Lakers are watching the playoffs on the sidelines right now, right? They have all the talent in the world, but if it doesn't mesh well.
And it's, and the Lakers, it's all about old talent, right? Like, okay, LeBron and AD, fine, but Anthony Davis is always hurt. Russell Westbrook is not good. Like, and the problem is, in a salary cap sport like the NBA, when three players take up 95% of your salary cap, that means spots 12 through 15 on your roster can only be filled with veteran minimums, yep, rookies who are unproven. And the problem with that is that, well, they're old veteran minimum guys for a reason, right? It's because they don't command larger deals somewhere else, because the assumption is they probably can't contribute as necessary to get to the ultimate goal. And it's a larger point about, you know, and look, teams have to give super duper stars like LeBron James and Kevin Durant input, but the culture has to be a fine line between giving them input and giving them say so over what actually happens, right? Because as good as players are, being a GM is hard, right? I mean, again, I'm going to keep trumpeting the Pelicans. Look at the New Orleans Pelicans. They played the most rookies out of any team in the NBA playoffs, and they took two games off the number one seeded Phoenix Suns. Herb Jones, Jose Alvarado, by the way, two players who anybody could have gotten in the NBA draft. Herb Jones, second round pick. Jose Alvarado, undrafted, right? Like, so these players exist, and it's not just, there are, I don't want to say thousands, but there are dozens of players like Herb Jones and Jose Alvarado out there that could help these elite teams like the Lakers 100% win. But, you know, you want to opt for Carmelo Anthony instead. And it's like, well, all right, cool. Like, you know.
No, it's a different ballgame literally right now. And I think, you know, it's always interesting. Like I said, we're going into NFL draft weekend while we're recording this. Even just like the media around Kayvon Thibodeau, right? Like, very happy that he is with my Giants. Excited to see what he's doing. But even just all the advertisements, endorsements, like rookies, a lot of the great players are not the ones that are getting these deals and eyes early on. It's the ones that are continuing to prove themselves. I mean, I think the NFL is a good indicator of that as well, where some of the best players that have performed the strongest and have the most longevity in the league are not the first pick of a team or even go first round. So have you been following along, Jay? Who are you liking so far?
I have been following along. I like what the Giants did in the draft. I mean, look, I'm kind of like football. I'm kind of off of it as a whole thing, but that's a whole different conversation. I do like what they did along the lines, right? Defensive line and offensive line, getting the tackle on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. And because that's, look, in that sport, that still matters, right? Yes, you need an elite quarterback and all that things, but if your line can't block, that doesn't matter. Gotcha. And if you can't get pressure on the quarterback, it doesn't matter, right? Like, those two things are still primarily true about that sport. So I like that they addressed that. It was interesting that Willis, the quarterback from Liberty, did he go undrafted in the first round? I feel like he didn't get picked yet. I think second round's probably, I don't think he got picked yet. So that was interesting. I was curious to see if he was going to actually end up in the first round. So I'm going to be kind of watching his story. That's kind of the popular thing that's going on right now. And really, if you're in the NFL,
hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise, but maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal, ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like,
yeah, whatever. Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for your eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Yes, the first round matters, but where you, again, where you, and football is different because 53-man roster, 11 people on one side of the ball, so it's way more bodies involved. But as much as the first round's important to get that top-tier talent, that ain't enough to win. It's how you build through round 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's right. The hidden gems you can find later in the draft that help you and build your future and build depth and all that because of the high injury rate in that sport that helps you build longevity. Like that's where the hidden gems are. Yeah, of course, everybody wants the next big star. Of course, that's just common sense, but that ain't enough. Like, right. What's the foundation? What are those other pieces that you can find? And that's where the market inefficiency is, right? It's like, ooh, those teams that constantly hit on those third through sixth round picks every, and those picks turn into stars, right? And because of where they were drafted, the salary allows the team to do other things, right? That's how you maneuver this to make it work, particularly in a sport like the NFL.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I keep saying, Gerard, in my head is Uncut Gems. whoever you're looking at, we got to get a sound effect of that one, please. I know it's
I'm dead.
but it's true. You got to look for those uncut gems in the draft, right? Like, and I think that's where it's very easy for us to critique on the sidelines, right? What that job is like. But there's a reason that the GM job is hard. The recruiting jobs are really hard to be able to identify that talent. And then to your point, to stack the lineup around it, right? Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. instead of asking superstar players to take a pay cut and then wanting to be traded, what does that cocktail look like of the right fit and the right talent? So again, I'm really happy with the Giants. I think we've needed to look at especially the O-line for like what, 10 plus years now. It's been a minute. So we've had
shout out to my guy, Andrew Thomas. Andrew Thomas played really well last year. So I think he's a solid piece in that line, but yeah, we need other help.
I think it steps in the right direction, but I'm glad to see that that's a focus this year instead of us like going, I was going to say, instead of us just going after the flashy player, we did get Kayvon. But I do think that he's the right type of player for what we need as well, in addition to him being flashy. I will say, like, that Beats ad that he was in, fire. But, like, how do these guys run with those chains? Like, I can barely run with, like, a nameplate necklace. I mean,
how do these guys run with those chains?
It's a real question, you know?
It's like weight vest training, you know? It helps.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Giants, Kayvon Thibodeau and getting Evan Neal. I think, look, again, smart moves. Well, the Jets, you know, they did some interesting to get in Sauce Gardner. I was like, oh, that's you know, first of all, your name is Sauce. I mean, I like it. No, look, I mean, the thing about the draft is this is the time of year, whether it's football, NBA, whatever, where teams have hope or fan bases of a team have hope, right? Yeah. Like that's what it is. And then, of course, the reality of life hits in, like, you know, 6 months later, you're like, well, want.
That's what keeps us coming back, though, right, Jay?
But that is the dopamine hit. That is the dopamine hit that keeps you coming back, right? It's like on draft day, you feel like, okay, we got promise. We got to. So you're saying there's a chance,
yep,
right? Like
every time. Yep.
That's the thing that keeps pulling us back into sport. You know, that's what makes it still the best reality TV show going, right? Because you really do not know how it's going to wind up. Right. And there's all these twists and turns and drama and, you know, and it is a wonderful television product. So kudos to our local teams here on round one. We'll see how the rest of the draft plays out over the weekend. By the time you guys hear this, it'll be over. So you'll know who's doing what. And yeah, NBA playoffs, man. Like we got some exciting second round series already on tap. I think that Phoenix-Dallas series will be really good. Boston-Milwaukee. Woo! People cannot wait for that one. Jason Tatum and Giannis Antetokounmpo going head-to-head. Not having Chris Middleton is going to really hurt Milwaukee. You know, we'll see how that goes. And Philly. Yo, I got to talk about Philly for a minute.
Damn.
Listen, I said it earlier in the week. Everybody said it. They had to win that Game 6 because if they didn't... Game 7, the tightness in the anal sphincter region that would have been going on in that Game 7.
Hey.
There would have been some nervous Nellies in that arena for Game 7. But I mean, they took care of business.
I think you said tight anal sphincters. A sphincter says what?
That's like from what? We were like 12 when that we did that. Not even like 8 when that
did Wayne's
that.
World? I mean, you were probably like 27.
Chill. That movie came out in like what, 1990? I was like 12.
I will have to say though, I know we always joke about age and like age doesn't matter at the end of the day, but Gerard and I are both at the age where you can see the generation gap in some of the references that we made. Our project I'm working on right now, they were like, oh, this needs to have more of a pop-up video feel. And I was like, love the reference, totally great. And then I was like, wait. Yeah. I have to talk about the reboot of pop-up video. Right.
Not the original pop-up video.
In the room. Mm-hmm. Yep.
The original pop-up video, which is, you know, fantastic. I'm still dying if you said Uncut Gems. We need to get that. I got to find that sound effect.
Uncut Gems. Yeah. I mean, there's a lack of GIFs and sound effects. I will say, may or may not have done some research in that space. But yeah, I think.
How are you feeling about Julia Fox as a...
I'm not. That's not feeling. Uncut Gems. I mean, she leaned in a little bit too much during Donda, and I don't know. I just finished the Kanye documentary, docuseries, and
on Netflix.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it. Episode 3 was a little bit dragging, so I'm like, great. It doesn't need to be the Cootie Show. It's the Kanye Show.
Shout out to Cootie, by the way, who I met at Tribeca Film a couple years ago.
And I will say, I think that people, you don't realize how much footage is needed to create those documentaries. So I liked the longevity of it. But I feel like to me, that's like so Kanye. And when she all of a sudden started wearing those outfits, I was like, girl, she's like, pick me, trying to put a ring on it. It felt like a PR stunt. And like,
pick me.
You know what I mean? I'm like, we can't see you. You're covered in a mask. So no one's picking you, girl. Sorry.
Exactly. I mean, it's, you know, Kanye's sort of like desire to dress women up like dolls. And like, it's just this whole sort of like, you know.
I need a whole other show to unpack that one.
I mean, right? there's just so much psychologically to unpack there, which, whoo. And again, I mean, I don't even have the breadth of knowledge to even get as deep as I would like to get, right? I mean, but it's just like, there's just so much there.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, her specifically, I have no hate for her or for anyone, but it's like, to me, especially now that I've been living a little bit more of this bi-coastal life, I find a lot of that in LA. And to me, that's just very LA, that it's like a lot of bandwagon, or let me try this because it seems like it's trendy, not because it seems like that's who I am. And I think that was what was so great about her. And like, especially even in that movie, like, she was like a muse. She did her. And then I just feel like, I'm like, homegirl, do you still, like, if that's what you want to do, but like, don't let anyone dress you like that if you don't want to dress like that. I think she was enjoying the media circus around.
For sure. And I mean, there was a payout for her, right? Not necessarily monetarily, but in terms of clout and fame. And like, I bet now monetarily brands are reaching out to her like, hey, or her management team. We'd love Julia to do X. We'd love her to be this. We'd love, like, and I'm sure she's getting more auditioning opportunities at movies, whatever. So I think, you know, everything that people do in this realm is calculated, right, to serve the greater end, which is more opportunities to make more money.
Of course. And I, to me, that's like a very Hollywood thing, right? Like, and this is nothing, no shade against Katie Holmes. Love Katie Holmes. But like, when she got with Tom Cruise, all of a sudden she became an icon. Right? Like, she went from like Dawson's Creek, Girl Next Door, Joey Potter, all of a sudden got hers. You know what I mean? So, I love her. So, I don't mean any shade. I just, that's the nature of the business in sometimes, that what, no matter what drives those relationships, whether it's love, whether it's a PR stunt, whatever it is, it's just fascinating to watch kind of like that star power shoot up or shoot in different directions, depending on kind of the current state of those relationships.
Since you brought her up, what is your favorite Katie Holmes project?
Dawson's Creek. I mean, hands down.
I should have.
You have a different one?
I should have qualified your favorite non-Dawson's Creek Katie Holmes.
Okay, is there anything else? Like,
I mean, yeah.
Like, what is yours, Jay?
So, of course, Dawson's Creek is what launched her onto the scene, and why everybody's like, oh my God, Katie Holmes. So, of course, I love Dawson's Creek, but I thought she did a really good job in the made-for-television miniseries, The Kennedys.
I thought she was great as well.
She was really good in that. I was like, because I think she's a really talented actor. I think she's a lot of range. But it's one of those things that whenever you're on some iconic show that introduces you to the masses, that is almost invariably always what someone sees you as. Even though, I mean, God, the end of Dawson's Creek was what, 20 years ago or more, something like that. I don't know.
No, not more. No.
But it's been a while since she was.
It's been a minute, yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, and she's done a bunch of other stuff since then. So yeah, I just thought that was interesting.
But I do think, though, it's interesting to see who's kind of broken out of those roles, right? Like, I know for me, Phoebe Buffay will always be Phoebe Buffay. Like, I mean, there was Romy and Michelle. There's so many other.
Shout out to Lisa Kudrow. Lisa
Kudrow has done since then. But like, there's just so much stuff that I think. Perks of being in a hotel, you guys. I don't know that. Your girl is checking out in an hour yet.
Housekeeping.
No, I'm trying to record a podcast. Thank you.
I was
trying to make a straight face, and I was like, I know Gerard is hearing what's happening in the other side of my hotel room.
As soon as I heard the knocking, I literally went right to housekeeping.
But like, literally the nicest woman ever. She was, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I heard that. I don't know what that accent was either. I feel like after you've seen Tommy Boy, you can't do a housekeeping voice.
That's without doing, yes, correct. That's the voice. That's housekeeping. You know, that's the voice you do.
I think, Jay, did we just bring it full circle? And that's us aging ourselves for those younger folks. Tommy Boy.
Everyone.
Chris Farley. Chris Farley was a
comedian.
A comedian on Saturday Night Live in our generation. Go look him up.
With David Spade in that movie. All right. I think we've gone full circle. I think housekeeping's interruption is our sign to say it is time to wrap this episode and wrap it up. Folks, this is what we do for you. We bring you content, even though we're on the road, we got things happening. We deliver because that's what we want to do for you. Stay tuned because, you know, we're coming up next week. We'll have, you know, guests back. We'll be back into the shoe game, figuring out what's going on. But this is the Kicks and Shit Show. So this is the end shit stuff, right? All the other extra things going on in the world. Now, we are part of the Count the Dings family, so of course we are there with Original Bomb Show, Crypto Bros, Winning Time, Breakdown of the Lakers Dynasty, Oh my God, what other shows am I missing? Woke Bros with Waz and Nando. I'm like, man, what other shows am I missing? And that's, of course, us. We are at Kicks and Shit Show on all social media platforms. And until next time, peace.